Boom, we're on. Today's guest, we've got Free Burrows from Birmingham, Mad Mickey, we've just had Griller on, and we've got Shake. How are we, lads?
Well, good, man. Happy to be here, man. Happy to be here.
Blessed, man. Always feeling blessed, man.
Just tells a younger brother story. He's like standing behind you as a bit of protection there. Sitting, actually. It's a mad story. Crazy, three right? brothers and a sister being in prison together. It's pretty fucked up, lads, to be honest. I'm like, this is the first time I've actually sat across from three brothers.
Yeah.
I'm actually quite fucking intimidated, you know what I mean?
We're gentle giants, really.
So, brother's story, stabbed, shot, the younger brother as well.
Yeah, man.
You're the older brother. He mentioned you a lot in the podcast. Looked up to you. He says I would have followed anything you'd done.
Yeah.
But we'll touch on it later as we go on in the podcast. But I always go back to the start of my guest, lads. Where you grew up and how it all began. We'll start with you, Mickey.
Yeah, man. I mean,
where do you want Mickey, Mickey, Mad Mike?
Mickey, Mikey, Mad. I mean, not.
Well, it's just Mike at the minute, isn't it? It's just Mike. Minute, it's just Mike.
You're known as Mad Mikey.
Yeah, man. That's what the old call me. It's growing up. And some people still, you know, some people still, they're still living on that. You know what I mean? They see me somewhere and say, hey, yo, you know who this guy is? You know, I just smile and.
Yeah.
Is accept the compliments.
How was it for you, the being the older brother? Because I know he's went to private school at the start.
Yeah, so our life was crazy, you know, because there'll be some points in our life where we lived in absolute luxury, and there were some points in our lives where we really lived in poverty. I mean, poverty, you know, charity shops, clothing, that kind of poverty. Do you know what I mean? My father, I'm not sure if my brother touched on this in a previous interview. My father, he's from Sudan, and he had a lot of connections and contacts in the Middle East. So when my father went to work, he was out in the Middle East. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest about my mom and dad's relationship. It was dysfunctional at the best of times. They were married for over 30 years. Do you know what I mean? I was one of those. We're a family where we're lucky to have had mom and dad in the house a lot of the time. But when it was going wrong, it was going wrong. So dad would like go back to the Middle East. He'd be working out there. Mum's over here. I love my mum, beautiful woman, but she's crazy. That's probably where we got some of our crazy traits from. And at those times we were living in poverty. Do you know what I mean? When things were going right, dad would call for us, mum, kids, everyone would go out to the Middle East. We'd be living in luxury. We're living in palaces and shit, man. I'm telling you, we're quite lucky because we're cultured. We were able to see other parts of the world. But just going back, when we were in Birmingham, England, he was born in London, by the way.
Yeah, he says that.
I mean,
he
was born in London. Far from
we were living. We used to live just down the road from here, Totes Hill. I'm old enough to remember all of this because of Totes Hill. Totes Hill Estates, right? I'm old enough. I'm significantly older than all these guys. So these guys, and I used to change their nappies and feed them their bottles and stuff because when dad was over in the Middle East and his contact with my mother, it's not like today where you can be WhatsApping somebody and like if you couldn't afford a house phone, you didn't contact anyone, you get letters. Do you know what I mean? Those are the days we're talking about, late 80s, early 90s. So mum's out working, doing all those kind of things. I'm the one looking after the kids in the house. There's times where I'm not going to school for months on end because I'm looking after my little brothers and my sister. You know what I mean? Social services coming to the house, banging the door. Well, you know, we're being quiet. I'm like, shh, everyone, keep the noise down because if these guys come, we're gone. Do you know what I mean? And that actually happened a couple of times. That actually happened a couple of times where we actually got taken by social services and then my dad's had to come back into the country and my mom and my dad had to get together to get the kids back. You know what I mean? But growing up, it was hard. In Birmingham, when we grew up, like I said, man, we grew up in the ghetto. We grew up in the real slums. We grew up in Handsworth. Yeah. And at that time, Handsworth, it's still a slum and a ghetto now, but it's a bit more affluent now. Do you know what I mean? There's a bit more money in the area. Back then, it was an absolute dump and we had nothing. And there were times where my mom's working literally three jobs and those three jobs are literally just paying the rent and the bills. There's no food in the house. When I say no food, I mean there's no food in the house. My mom's sneaking food in from work to bring home. And at the times where she couldn't do that, my little brothers are telling me they're hungry. And I'm telling you, I shit you not, I was never seeing my little brothers hungry. So there were times where I went out personally. They didn't know what I was doing, but I was coming back with food.
That's true. The funniest part about that, though, is I knew what he was doing, and I completely respected it because I thought, yo, he's going out there, and he's bringing us back food.
Yeah. And I was going out, and I was sticking up anybody I could find.
Did you feel like the father figure then? You have to step up 100% to the plate?
During those times, yeah. And I felt like I had I wouldn't say a weight on my shoulder, but I felt like I had a
extra pressure,
a serious responsibility. I didn't even call it pressure. I just felt obliged. This is my duty. My younger brothers, my sister, I have to look after them. There's nothing there's nothing more important to me in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have any kids then, anything like that. These were the people that meant the most to me in the world. And I'll go hungry, but I'll be damned if my little brother's telling me he's hungry. I'd go out there and I'd rob people. You know what I mean? Literally just to go to a shop to buy food to bring home for them to eat.
Yeah.
That's how real it was at certain points of our life.
Yeah, you were the oldest, so you'd have seen the brunt of it more with your dad not being there.
Yeah.
Your brother Grilla says he used to see you fighting all the time.
Constantly.
Yeah. Why was that? Did you have to defend a lot more because they were still younger and a bit naive to what was going on?
Yeah, and I also had balls the size of watermelons. So what would happen is, I look at it now, if it was like one of my little cousins or my kid doing this stuff, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Are you crazy? Look at all these people. Come on, you can't fuck around with these guys. But at the time, my mentality was, hey, you're a human being, you know, I'm a human being too. We can either both bleed, you're going to bleed. Even if I tell you something, I'll go to hospital, but I'm telling you, if it takes me 5 years, I'm going to get you back. And that's how I kind of lived. Do you know what I mean? And the reason why I would say that I was in constant just war, I mean war, sometimes it was serious life and death shit, was because in our area where we grew up in, the gang mentality was rife. Like,
still is, really.
It still is, really. And back then, it's not like now where there was all these subsections of little crews that kind of are in the area. There was, you were either in this crew or you weren't. And if you're not, you're an enemy. But we've never been in a gang. Never, ever.
Just all families.
All family. Yeah. And we've been affiliated because we grew up in a certain area. We may know the guys that live down the road. We were never in a crew.
Well, we kind of created our own thing, right? We get into that though.
We can get into that. We'll get into that touch more because
we can
touch on that and touch on the technicality of that. But the fact of the matter is, it was all family, and we were just labeled a crew, or because you knew the guy who grew up next door, he just so happens to be in a gang. You know that guy, you've been playing football with him since you were 7. Do you know what I mean? So you were affiliated, but we were never in a gang. I personally was never in a gang. I never claimed a gang in my life.
That's what I was explaining, though. See, yeah. I was breaking down, like, yo, in one household, how much people there is, bro. Like, our family's actually massive.
Yeah.
So even though it looked a certain way, this is like a bunch of cousins and brothers. And do you get what I'm saying? If you're from the ends, if you're from Handsworth, then you know this because you know who the families are, like the main. Mm. There's like 4 or 5 main families.
Yeah.
And you'd know who they are. Do you know what I'm saying? So for in-house, it made sense, but if you're outside of this, you just look like
you maybe look like you're just one big crew. Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what was happening was I was never part of a crew, and it was kind of stuck on me like, so you with us or you're not? I'm not. And then the ghetto is governed by intimidation and psychology. That's a fact of the matter. That's a fundamental truth, right? If these guys can't rope you in, they use intimidation and psychology to make you scared enough to submit. I'm an alpha male. Look at me. They look like I'm going to submit to somebody. Never in your life. Didn't happen. So what would happen is I'm just now in beef. I'm just in beef with the guys that I live next door to.
And the doorstep, yeah.
So in my own place where I'm living, I'm having to fight every day. And some of those fights weren't just me with my fist fighting. I'm like, yo, these guys could kill me here. So I will kill one of these guys first. That was just my mentality. I didn't think of the consequence. I didn't think of what I could do, what was going to happen to that person, their family, or me or my family. It was just, I'm not going out like that.
What age did you go to prison for the first time?
I went to prison for the first time because I tried to kill someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I tried to kill someone. I was probably, for the first time, went to jail, 15, 16?
So 15, 15 16. Kid, yeah, and you were what, 8, 9?
Yeah, man.
I remember, bro. Man, I used to look forward to fucking
the visits,
eating shit out of the vending machine and the prison visits.
Yeah. What was that place like, up in Liverpool?
I remember we used to go Liverpool.
It was Liverpool, man.
They went rugby.
Yeah.
Rugby.
Because where we
Unley.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to go up there.
And then I went to end up in Swinford Hall. I went to a few, you know, to say you're on tour.
How hard was it with your dad not being there? Did you feel the shackles were off that
you could know what was
get
funny,
away with more?
What was funny was, so I wouldn't say so, because in my mum and dad's relationship, my mother probably wore the pants. Yeah, and that's no disrespect to my father. My father's a quiet man, and my mum's a fiery woman. So I'd say the person who you were scared of was my mother. Came across. Because my mother used to whoop my ass. I mean, I used to get fucked up to the point where I tell my mom now, I'm like, you should be in jail, woman. Do you know what I mean? You should be in jail. Do you know what I mean? Because of the way that I used to get battered. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that probably contributed to my anger, my issues, my rebellion. Yeah, definitely 100%. And but that's not to say that if my father wasn't there, and I'm not saying he wasn't there. I'm just saying that he wasn't able to be there in the capacity that perhaps he needed to be.
To guide you better.
Yeah.
How was it for you seeing your big brother going to prison and seeing him fighting all the time?
You know why it was? It's kind of like, it's one of them things, if you don't know any different, you just think it's normal, right?
Yeah.
So it was kind of one of them things where I just thought, oh, this is just how it goes. Like, this is just what people do. Even when he went to prison, don't get me wrong, man, we're mad upset because we used to idolize my brother, you know what I mean? Anything he did, we wanted to do. Anything he's interested in, we was interested in. And it was just one of them things. So when he did go, that was a bit traumatic. However, seeing the fighting, the everything else, it's kind of like, well, that's just that's just how it is, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, it made me want to hurry up and grow up though.
Yeah. Listening to your brother saying traumatic and looking up to you and followed you, anything you did you ever feel like you were part of them going to prison also?
110%. And I've said this to them before, you know, in our later years as I've grown up, I personally have had personal regrets because I know that being the role model I was to my brothers and them idolizing me in the way that they did, that of course we're going to follow every single thing I did. I set a terrible example for my brothers. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where I think to myself, had I had done things a little bit differently, the things that my brothers had gone through that had never gone through, you know, my little brothers here, who I've said this before, I used to change his nappies, I used to feed him his food. He almost died twice. One of the times he was bleeding in front of me. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how deep he got into it in his interview.
Yeah, he went pretty deep.
But I'll tell you something now. We were meant to meet each other in the city centre of Birmingham. And he was a little bit late, so I called him. And when I called him, somebody else answered the phone. And they told me, yo, your brother's been stabbed. And it was only around the corner from where I was, so I ran around the corner. By the time I got around the corner, my brother's on the floor with paramedics around him. I'm talking, there's blood everywhere. It looks like a horror movie. When I'm looking at my brother, my brother's looked at me and he says, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it, bro. And I tell you something, I can sit here and I can talk about it now, but at that time, I burst into tears because I think my little brother's going to die. And when I turned around, all I said was, somebody's going to die for this. Somebody's going to die for this. And when I said that, there's a policeman, I'm talking about one like a detective right beside me. He's come straight over to me and says, look, they know who we were at the time. Straight up, they knew who we were at the time. Because they considered us as the upper echelon of some of the activity that was going on in the city at the time. Do you know what I mean? And they've come up to me literally and said, look, we don't want a bloodbath. We don't want a bloodbath. They knew specifically who I was as well. So they came up to me and said, we don't want a bloodbath. Can we just try and keep this calm? Keep this calm. My little brother's lying on the floor dying. Do you know what I mean?
Well, so... Just going into that a bit, I'm not sure how much you went into it. But like you said, I was going to go meet him there and then in town. I was with my bro and one of our younger cousins, you know what I mean? And then it's funny because I had an argument with one of these guys who's someone on the other side. You brought up? Mm-hmm. He was considered, you know, a rival gang member or whatever. So we're seeing this guy, he was on the bus, said, yo, there's them guys, man. Let's go have a word, you feel me? So we've gone to go on this bus and obviously we got into a bit of a ruckus. There's loads of them. I mean, there's about 8-9 of them at the time. There's just 3 of us. We're just scrapping it out. His gun to the front, it looks like we're just getting blows. And then by the time we come off the bus, obviously we're having them up, you know what I mean? Like they're dead or cowering and shit. Not to try and sound heroic, but you know, that's just how it went. Then was coming off the bus. It's when I've turned around, but my brother didn't even realize he was bleeding, man. He's like, yo, what's... He literally was like, yo, what's that?
I thought it was my hand.
Yeah, he was like, yo, what's that? Then he turned around. When I've turned around, bro,
That sounds like a movie, man.
Oi, the blood in his neck, yeah, was squirting so high into the sky, bro. It, fuck me. Oi. It just looked unreal, you know what I mean? Fake. I'm talking, yeah, it looked fake, man. It was just talking, the pressure, it was just squirting as high as you could fucking see into the air.
And when does that put pressure on you then?
You
to
know,
think?
I got to tell you something as well. So when he was in surgery, because he had to go to surgery, they're telling me it's touch and go with him. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, the only reason these guys even do half of this shit is because of me. Because at this point now, I'm no longer the role model and the only person these guys look up to. There's like 50 people that look up to
this
me
point.
And listen to my every word. And I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking my baby brother could die. I'm here at this hospital. There's 50 guys asking me, what are we doing? I said, what are we doing? But then there's another part of me saying, up until this point, I've done some pretty fucking terrible things in my life. Like some things I'd never, would never mention on this camera. And I'm thinking to myself, is this karma for some of the shit I've done to people? Some of the things I've done. I think it could well be. But then I also knew that the way in which, again, these situations are governed, the ghetto, the hood, this mentality, this rivalry that was going on in the city at the time, if nothing happens for this, it's over. As in, people will just be constantly doing this to you. They'll be constantly doing this to you because if they see there's no repercussion, if they see there's no, like, at least an attempt, then you're a victim. That's how it works.
True.
That's how it works. So even when you're thinking, man, this ain't worth it. Even if you were thinking this isn't worth it, look, people are dying. People are almost dying over this. You're just pressured into a situation where something's got to be done, and we certainly took that very seriously. Do you know what I mean? We certainly took that very seriously.
Getting to a point there, like, it's funny because, you know, when you say, like, it just made me think about when we think about shit that's normal. And obviously, my bro, you know, he's critical right now at that point. And what we've done, we've gone to where my bro was living at the time. He was with his missus, the mother of his child. And we just had a shitload of guns in there, bro.
How'd you do?
No, we a lot.
Shitload. Going to this cupboard. And just took them out. They had everything from, you know, pistols, 9mm, to 4.5s, different variations of shotguns. Rado, Terminator. We used to give them names, so we didn't just say what it was called. Like, peeps, if I said, yo, Rado now, man would know what that is. If I said, yo, bring up the Terminator.
We'd never say something by
over the phone,
like, no, even if we were just around each other. So, yo, like, you know, if we're in the crowd, bro, I might say something. These people don't know what I'm on about. You know what I was just on about, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you can go, maybe you, you know, want to go fetch that or something. Everyone else don't know what we're just talking about.
So,
you
yo, remember the, what's the one? Eastwood?
Yeah.
Which was a
Colt 45, revolver.
Colt 45, it was a 4.4 rifle, you know, lever action.
Yeah.
Called it Eastwood.
You just called it Eastwood because you used to just see it in the cowboy movies, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, yo, but I remember just at that point where we're just there loading up, counting how much ammunition you got for some of these gats, because some of them are hard to get. And just thinking, yo, someone's getting it. You know what I mean? But again, going back to one of my original points, it's like, that was just normal, bro. Like, that was normal, you know what I mean?
Your adrenaline wasn't even raised.
Yeah, it was just normal. Raised.
And I spoke to Grilla about it's the effect it has on other people, like your mum, to see her son, her baby son, in hospital, potentially 50-50 of dying, and then you just want to retaliate and do that to somebody else's son. Yeah. It's never ending.
I'll tell you something about my mother as well. She's a tough old lady.
She must have to be.
I mean, the toughest bird you'll ever see. I mean, my mum will...
I didn't realise that until way later.
My mum is like a tough lady, man. And she... I think it rubbed off on us because it made us tough, almost unaffectionate, just calculating everything we did. And
it's funny though, because see, my mom is the youngest out of her siblings, but I would say her kids though are the most like
probably revered,
the most serious,
maybe.
Yeah.
The
cornerstone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though my mom's supposed to be the youngest and, you know, it's female, and then suddenly we just come, you know what I'm saying, and bring a different
energy. Where did that mentality come from then, from just three kids just trying to survive to then becoming violent, vicious, prison?
I think the household.
Well,
I think the household and every situation.
We grew up in a tough house with a tough lady in a tough area.
But you didn't realize what it taught you, bro. My mom, it made you... You grow with my mom, bro, you're going to understand who you are. Yeah, if that makes sense. When you go out onto the road, bro, no one's going to be able to tell you something.
Yeah.
If you grow around my mom, bro, you are going to go out there and no one's going to be able to tell you what to
do. It's the weirdest thing because she swears every other word. She smokes 40 fags a day. You know what I mean? She'll sit down there. She'll be talking to you like this, like you're one of the lads. But she speaks such strength into you. Like, you'll believe you're the greatest or whatever it is. If my mum was your mother, you'd believe right now there is not a single podcaster in the world that can even rub shoulders with you. You will leave this place like, I'm the fucking best podcaster that's ever fucking lived. And that's kind of how it was with us. And I also had a kind of a funny relationship with mum, because even though she used to kick shit out of me all the time, she never actually kick shit out of me for any of the bad things I was doing. It was never for that. It was other random shit. Do you know what I mean? That I felt like I didn't need to get the shit kicked out of me for.
Yeah, bro.
And I could tell my mom every single thing. Like, I told her everything, so she should never be shocked if it came to her on her doorstep. Do you know what I mean?
That's one thing. I can say, you know, with us, with my mom, we were just open. If anything, I probably didn't say to my dad.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
My dad would know
less.
Because
you think we're boys, innit? Yeah. So we'd say this shit to our dad.
Yeah, who says that? Mom, would you ever have a discussion with your dad about the life that you led? To try and get some closure, and because as men, it's hard, too much pride, too much ego. Nobody wants to step forward first and address the situation. But there's obviously a lot of shit uncovered that needs to be addressed, I believe.
I certainly haven't.
100%.
No one has, bro. I'm saying this.
Don't think so.
Certainly haven't.
I've touched on little things as I've gotten older, but it's definitely a sit down peeps need to have, because you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised. Trust me.
Yeah. I'd imagine about a lot. Communication is key for anybody to relieve some pain and stress and trauma. Like, to watch three sons all be in prison at the same time. That's some fucked up shit, lads.
Well, it's not like we were in prison though. When it's hard to say. It's a weird one. It's not like we was in prison and just was there for each other and had each other's back like that. The scenarios weren't like that. It was like him over there doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's on his journey, fucking. Surviving
some shit happened to me.
I'm over here doing my, and it's only later that we're able to come back together.
But it's not as even if you're unsuccessful. You're still successful. You're still very well educated. You're still on the ball. It's mad how you still went down that other fucking route, though. Focused on any other thing, you'd have been at the top of your game.
100%. I think it's environment.
Yeah.
And I don't even think even you realize this as much, though. Mm. You see, when I was younger, though, when I saw everything he was doing or scenarios he was in, I would think to myself, yo, I want to hurry up and get older and put myself in a position to be able to defend too. I was in scenarios with him when I was young and I couldn't do anything apart from watch.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If something happened to you, bro, I would have just had to watch that.
So it's kind of one man army at that time.
In my mind, in my mind, this was like a personal mission for me. I didn't say nothing to no one, but I knew in my head, I'm going to grow up, bro, and I'm going to be a certain way. And then it's like, with the way I'm looking at him anyway, like I said, with whatever he's doing, I'm looking and I'm thinking, yo, I like doing that thing. I don't know if I fucking like doing it, bro. I just know he does it. So I'm going to say, I'm going to go have a look at that too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I said, you know, if my brother, I tell you what went wrong, yeah? This is what went wrong. When he was on the road, if he had grabbed me and then said, no, come with me still, but here, you're going to go do this sports over here instead with me, but over here, though, and do this. I did that thing and I'd have took it serious.
Yeah.
The problem was, though, yeah, I'm looking up to him, but he ain't bringing me with him. So even though I was on the road, I didn't go on the road with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he ain't bringing me with him. But I still want to be on the road.
But you're still a reflection of him.
Yeah,
yeah. But
he
ain't bringing me.
It was two different generations.
Two different generations.
Yeah. So in my mind, this is how I'm seeing it, though. I'm just seeing it like, yo, he ain't bringing me. Then if this person over here comes now, this is another older person from the hood who I'm looking at in a certain way, and they say, hey, come over here a second. I'm going to be like, all right, cool. Because in my mind, I've still got this point to prove to my bro. Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy as well, you know, because half of those dudes, I never liked them.
This is real shit. I'm on the road, bro, when I'm like 15, looking for people, bro. And I'm like, when I think about it now, I was like 15, 16, bro, literally getting the call. Like, yo, you got that there? All right, I'm coming to pick you up. You know what I'm saying?
And
this is older man, bro. Mm-hmm. And this is literally because, though, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, this is a person that can get me to the point I want to be at. Yeah.
And you know, personally, and he knows this now because I tell him this now, I always felt like those guys were trying to target my little brother because they could never get me in there.
Trying to manipulate him, groom him, kind of thing.
That's how I always felt.
But did you see them, though, you've seen the mistakes your brother was making by being with them, but... Yeah. You were like them also.
By this time, I can't say, what am I going to say to him? I'm going to say, oh, don't do that. And I say, brother, you do that every Tuesday and Thursday.
But you know the craziest thing, though? I literally remember him one time, though, yeah, speaking to me and my brethren and actually saying, because, you know, it's not a case of him not saying, you know, he said to us, you know, yo, don't do A, B, and C, don't chill with Rare, don't do this. I literally remember walking off, yeah, was in H's yard, and I literally remember walking off, bro, and thinking to myself, you was at the top of the stairs.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this. He's at the top of the stairs and you literally spoke to me and that other redskin you. And then basically, after you finished saying it, bro, I swear down, I've walked off and I thought to myself, yeah, I'm definitely still going to do this road thing. Like, but he full on gave a big old lecture and I was like, psh, I got this mission in my head, bro. I'm going to become so I can do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying? And even though I had these older peeps who almost like saw this road potential in me, bring me over here and say, yo, come do this, show me how to do this and all these things. In my mind, bro, I weren't really being, it's like, this sounds weird, yeah? Even though they had their intention, bro, in my mind, I had my intention. I wasn't actually being used, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like I was, but I was actually mature enough, like, bro, to actually understand, Nana, I'm getting the information.
It's like, it was on work experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, now you know what I'm saying? Though? I literally understood, though, I'm actually getting the knowledge I need to get to become who I want to become. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's funny because obviously when my two bros talk, because this is the funny thing, because he's the oldest, then it's me, then it's the one that looks the fucking biggest. Yeah? So the thing is, even though when I say, my big bro was in the most active stages of maybe what he was doing. I probably went around then because he was a bit young. But once he came out of jail, we was pretty close. So there's a lot of shit that my bro used to do.
Because we're only 1 year apart, but them two were close.
So what's really weird is that I'd have been with my big bro doing shit, but on the flip side, we're so close in age. Like we got the same peer group. Like, so we'll be on the road close together every day doing shit as well.
But I went with him though.
Yeah, and I think that was mainly because I was protective of him, but I was like,
a shabby bro.
I don't want him to do anything. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Anything, and to the point where, like, if I could get a call, I could be anywhere, get a call and Shake's in trouble. I'm like, okay, I'm relaxed. I'll go down there, let's handle that. If I got a call that he's in trouble, I've shut places down because he was in there and I got told this. Like, the places don't exist anymore. They've closed down. They're no longer open because I got a call that he's in trouble there. You know what I mean? And that's me when I'm trying to chill. I want to try this family thing now. I want to try and get off all this stuff. And I get a call saying, I'm like, my baby brother. No. Coming down there now. The places are no longer open. They don't trade anymore. You know what I mean? And that's because of I've only just had to adjust my way of thinking to be like, he's an adult now with his own kids. Because you know, have you got any brothers?
Yeah.
Younger sister. Yeah. You always still see them as the baby. Course, you don't ever think of them as this big grown adult that's doing their own thing. And it took me a while to adjust my way of thinking, particularly for my youngest brother. Do you know what I mean? And particularly because of the things he went through. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With almost losing his life twice.
Do you think that's a test from God, though, to give you the kick up the ass to then stop doing what yous are doing?
I think it was definitely a challenge, but I think it did at the time. You got to understand we were young and not much guidance, so we kind of just did what we thought was right at the time.
But even then, it was that mentality of, but did you die, bro?
Yeah,
you're good, man. You're good, though, right? Come on, let's get back to it. We have never. I'm gonna tell you something. The other day, I was speaking to my brother. I don't know if you've mentioned this, and I had to say to him, "You know what, brother? I've never ever asked you if you're all right. I've never asked you. I said, bro, are you okay? Do you want to talk about this? What do you go through? Because our mentality, being in a girl, being raised like we're in the military, we're soldiers in the street, like that's how it was. Just like brush that shit off. let's go and that's how you just have to be tough, you know what I mean? So I never even asked him if he's all right. It was only the other day I asked him, and I don't think he even answered me.
The craziest thing, though,
he's probably shocked by it, though.
It's a thing where we never even thought about it. He's never had therapy. He's never had. We never asked him if he's all right. There's never been any guidance, no counseling, nothing. It was just brush that shit off. Yeah. Brush that shit off. You got a few scars. They've added character to your face. You're good. You're all right. Let's go. Do you know what I mean?
And that shit. Speaking about it, even now, you're free speaking. You probably don't realize it, but after this, you should probably feel a big weight off your shoulders because you're speaking some truth, facts, man. Bro. You're speaking some fucking facts. I don't know. It's different, like, things have changed.
It's very rare, you get opportunities, like say, to communicate in this way, you know. So me and my bro, we used to clash a lot.
Yeah.
When I was a couple years back, bro. Like, we seriously used to clash. Like, I sometimes didn't even understand how these two children, because I'd think to myself, bro, how the fuck, like, I don't know, bro, we just didn't go together, you get me? The craziest part, though, is it's actually almost like teaching someone to be a certain way, then not liking the way you've taught them to be.
Yeah, he's felt like a failure, but towards you, that's why he holds his
head. Let me show you something. Yeah. Let's say he said something to me, then I would talk what I'm saying. But you see, the thing is, if I would do that, then we'd get into something. But the truth of the scenario is, I've been taught to be someone,
to have completely stand up for fucking myself. Have the balls.
Yeah. My balls grew, bro, because I was taught that way.
Yeah. And then I'm not used to anyone fucking doing that.
So then we're clashing. Yeah. But we're clashing because of the way you told me to be, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now, but it's funny because these are only things you learn later.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We figured it out.
When did you get into MMA, Mikey?
I got into, you know what, it's funny. I got into MMA in about 2007.
About 07.
That's when I first walked into the gym. You want to know the truth? I'm quite candid about this, right? So how I actually got into it was totally by accident. I got into another fight, but it wasn't even really a fight. What happened was I can scrap. I've always been able to scrap, right? And I walked up to a co-ed. We'd just finished what we was doing. Playing football. We used to organize like little football games. We used to get some of the guys from the ghetto together. We used to get some of the guys from the hood together and be like, yo, let's go to Oaklands. We didn't even pay. We just bus open. You know what I'm talking about? Laurel Road. Everyone that knows. There's like the AstroTurf pitch and, you know, we're from the ghetto. We're not paying. Like, we just walk in there. And the guys would just have to be like, yep, we'll open the gate. Let us through. We finished playing a game, walking down the road, and there was somebody in a car, and I thought I knew the guy. So I've walked over to the guy and I was like, yo, what's up? But there's about, 15 of us walking?
Yeah.
And he just jumps out of the car and punched me straight in the face. Just straight punched me in the face. But when he's punched me in the face, he's put his dukes up and he's like, head movement, head bobbing. I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? It's like Mike Tyson's in front of me. Now, don't get me twisted. There's about 10 of us with shanks on us and all kind of stuff. So even I've gone to whip out my shank and I thought, fucking hell, I realised it's a misunderstanding. Anyway, I remember going home thinking, I know it was a misunderstanding, but that shit ain't never happening to me again, where I feel like I need to shank someone and they've got their fists up. Do you know what I mean? And the guy looked like he knew it. He was doing it like he was tasty.
It's a situation. It's a situation where you should always feel like, listen, even if you're going to
shank you up, bro. We should always be able to beat you up. Yeah, yeah, should yeah, be yeah, option, yeah, so yeah, it should yeah, be like yeah. a choice. Like, you guy, know what? I chose to do that. Yeah, but yeah. I could always punch you up. Because I can't beat you up.
Yeah,
that's what I'm scared. I need to do that.
The guy's throwing his fist and showing some head movement. Guy looked tasty and sharp. I was like, fucking hell, bro. I don't know if I can one-on-one this geezer. So I remember I went back and thought, that's never going to happen to me. I feel like I can't have a one-on-one fight because it's never happened to me before. I've always just been able to scrap. I thought, fuck this. I've gone back and looked on the internet. And them days, it's not like now you can just look on your phone. It was like one guy on the street with a computer and the internet. So you go to that one guy's house and you all sit around his computer. And I didn't even know what it was called, man. I was typing in no rules fighting, no holds barred fighting, fucking death matches, all kind of shit I'm typing into this thing. Do you know what I mean? And eventually a guy named Vitor Belfort came up. And I don't know if you know Vitor Belfort, he's like an MMA legend, former UFC champion. And he was kicking the absolute fucking shit out of people. No gloves on, kicking him in the head. I was like, oh shit, this is what I got to learn, man. And I walked into the gym. And you know, the funny thing about it is the first gym I walked into, there was no coach or anything. It was just the bags and me. And I remember I was kind of teaching myself like how to punch, how to kick. I didn't know any of this shit. And I was going there twice a day. I was going in the morning and I was going in the evening. And this is what actually made me make the transition from being on the street to eventually being in a gym and no longer being on the street, no longer being active. And I was doing that by myself religiously because I remember just thinking, no one's going to be able to fucking touch me again. I'm going to kick the shit out of anyone who comes near me. And eventually I made a transition from there. And I started training with the guys over at K-Star Birmingham, just a world-renowned gym. They do a lot of Thai boxing, but they do some MMA. I eventually became an amateur champion with the guys at K-Star and my coach. I mean, here's the judge. Let's go back a little bit. When I first walked into K-Star, I thought I could throw a punch and a kick. And I was getting the shit kicked out of me there by the actual fighters. Eventually, I started picking it up pretty quickly. And the coach at the time, Guppy Madahar, he turned and gone, you know, you're pretty good at this, man. You know, you should probably fight. And I was like, get the fuck out of it. Have you seen what those guys do to each other in that cage? There is no way I'm stepping. I don't want that to happen to me. A couple months later, he's come back to me like, bro, I reckon you really should fight. I was like, Guppy, you're going to have to get the fuck out of here. My man, I'm not doing it. A few months later, persuaded me. So now, back then, I didn't even tell people I was fighting. My first few fights, no one even knew I was fighting. Grabbed my shorts, a gym bag, my brother Shake, my missus at the time, my coach in a little fucking car, 3-4 hour drive to wherever the fucking fights are, just turn up and scrap. And the first fight, I turned up, kicked the shit out of the guy like a minute and a half. So I was like, that guy must have been fucking shit. For me to kick the shit out of him for in a minute and a half, it must be wank. Gone away, come back a few weeks later, another fight. Kick the shit out of the guy in like 2 minutes. Like, okay, he must be shit too. Like, why are you guys feeding me shit, guys? Come on. Went back, another show, kicked the shit out of the guy again, and like inside around. I'm like, you know what? The guy, coach might have a point here, you know. I'm destroying these guys. And then from there, I believed it. And I went on to be amateur level. I went on to be like 5-time national champion, 2 different weight classes, heavyweight and light heavyweight. I'm still an active, went out to pro, I'm still an active pro fighter. And I'm still currently signed to Cage Warriors, which is like a subsidiary, it's like a partner of the UFC. And the gym I train at, Renegade MMA, I've got guys like Leon Edwards there.
Yeah, I spoke to Leon a couple of days ago.
I did, yeah. So there you go. Leon Edwards there.
Fight Nate Diaz.
Yeah, he's fighting Nate Diaz. So I'm one of his main training partners, man. I'm one of his sparring partners.
Fight Diaz, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking second.
So, Jeff,
didn't that fight get caught off?
No, yeah, but they're fighting again in June.
Oh, so he got caught off from
Yeah, they got him for his bonus. I'm one of his main, training partners
for
that.
So, can you, at your age, still fit, still strong? Could you ever go to the UFC?
I could do. For me, and my age, I'm 37. I'm going to be 38 soon. So I've probably got a few good years left of me, 2-3 good
still
years.
Still fucking look good, but man, you're looking great shape, man.
I tell you what, these guys are getting younger. Yeah, it's bastards. Not like him when I started, trust me, bro. When I started, MMA was a new sport. Mm-hmm. MMA was young. The guys weren't getting into the game yet. Leon's one of the few guys who got into it when he was like 15, 16. When I started, I was in my mid-20s. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a fight till I was about 30.
Isn't that scary though, how your mindset, you guys know the potential of the music as well, with the names that he's mentioned earlier, Wiley, Stormzy's, K-Coke.
Exactly.
Legends in the game. If you had focused your energies into something more positive,
exactly,
you could have changed the fucking world, man, changed the game.
Precisely. I mean, we still can, because I believe that as long as there's still breath.
This is the start of a new process right now, bro.
Mm-hmm. I believe that as long as there's breath in your body, you can still do it. You know what I mean? Nelson Mandela was in jail for 27 years of his life. He came out and he changed the fucking world. You know, apartheid in South Africa stopped. You know what I mean? That's the way I see it. And it went on to be the Rainbow Nation. But for me, once I had come off the road, started going to the gym, and it was like, mate, if you don't keep on going to the gym, the guys in the gym are going to kick your ass. Do you know what I mean?
Do you not like getting beat then? Do you hate getting beat? Do you always hate getting beat in life? Like, always worry that somebody can potentially beat you?
No, I don't worry about it. You know what? To be fair with you, I'm going to be frank. My last two fights, I tried to drop down to middleweight. I actually lost those to what I believe is lesser competition, because I can beat those guys. But I tried something new, tried to go down a little weight. So I'm going back up the weight class where I didn't lose a fight. But I'm not afraid of failure or defeat, because it's not the failure or defeat that you're judged by or that makes you. It's what you do when you get back up.
Yeah, which is the main thing.
Do you know what I mean?
That's not anybody watching.
You can, it's not the thousand times you fail that people care about. It's the one time you succeed. Mm-hmm. That's what history judges you on.
So were you changing your life when Gorilla got shot?
No.
Were you still
active? I was still, when Gorilla got shot, I was trying to kill people.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to be straight with you. When he got stabbed, we went out for the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can. Do you remember the time when? I mean, we can talk about this now.
Saying this shit usually does one thing or the other, and
it brings you in deeper, or you get out. Yeah. And we didn't get out. That's the honest thing.
Yeah.
That's the honest truth. Yeah, when he got stabbed, I remember there was even we were going out regularly trying to find people.
Well, bro, I did something to anyone, even if I thought they had something to do with the person, like as in like there was in a picture with them.
There was one time when we were out. We you know, you got your mask, your gloves, your whatever you got on you, trying to do something to somebody. So we were there, a pistol on each of us. We've hopped out. We thought we saw people. Do you remember this? We thought we saw
Top of Handsworth.
And we've realized, oh, it's not who we think it is. It's some guys that we know. So we actually get into a conversation. So remember, this is just normal. Like, we're not worried. We don't have no adrenaline going.
Listen.
At the time, remember I told you, if we go back, the police have said, yo, we don't want a bloodbath. The police are very aware that this whole thing can go south. So I'm talking, there's armed convoys.
Everywhere,
driving through the area.
Listen to what's happened, yeah. We're there talking to your man. It's one of our mates is asking how he is, because he's still recovering, you feel me? But like he said, we got the call that, you know, some guys are there, so we've gone there. Like you did rightly say, that we both, you know, we're ready for the situation, but he's got his back turned, yeah? So I can see up the road, armed convoys coming down. Now, if I was a police officer, I would have stopped us fucking cunts, because we had ski masks on our head, bro.
We look like we're trying to
leather gloves. It's middle of the day, mate. Yeah. Ski masks rolled up, yeah. Leather gloves on, blacked out, old trainers on. Man, I would have fucking stopped. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing, bro? You know what I mean? You look suspicious, bro. This armed convoy comes up, and I shit you not, it is crawling as fast as a man does a slow walk, bro. There's about six cars. It was. They're all hanging out the whip, MP5s and all. Yeah. And I'm just looking at this. And I'm not being funny, but I was in a mentality that just like my bro kind of had, and we all have, which is we're all men in it, so we all can bleed. So the truth is, it doesn't matter if there was like one or two, it's like, yeah, fuck it, game in it. Like, let's just see how this goes. But when you see six cars and everybody's got automatic weapons, and you're thinking to yourself, I got about nine in here, and I ain't really practiced shooting.
These men are
serious, bro.
Yeah, they'll be shooting to
They're serious, bro.
Die.
And I'm just looking like,
bruv, well, how the fuck's this gonna go? So I'm looking at my bro at the time. I'm saying, yo. I said, yo, listen. Don't turn around. Don't turn the fuck around. The armed convoy's coming up right now. He hasn't turned around yet. So I said, yo, just carry on talking to my man. Act like you fucking just talking.
Natural.
So yeah. I said, just act normal. I said, we carry on talking like, yeah. I'm
laughing, joking.
Heart's doing this, man. Heart's doing this. And the truth was, I wasn't really even worried about even if we got arrested at the time and, you know, taken in, because I figured it out, you know what I mean? Well, at the time, you would have got caught with
the risk we're taking.
Firearm, it would have been maybe four or five years. It would have been minor at the time. At the time, it's probably more now. So I'm thinking, that's not too bad. The problem was your man had something on him which would have got him life.
A grenade or something?
Silencer.
Yeah, that adds an extra 5, 10 on eye.
Well, at the time...
Also, I'm on a lifetime ban from...
Yeah,
those kind ammunition of as well. What have you had on you?
So me, I was going away for basically.
So I'm just thinking, it's fucked. I'm just thinking, for fuck's sake, man. You know what I mean? But then this fucking convoy fucking crept past, man.
The maddest thing though is the amount of time shit like that has happened.
Standard.
Do you think he's with a shot back?
Who knows, man? Who knows at the time? I certainly wasn't gonna run away. Nah. They'd have definitely shot after you.
100%.
Yeah, they definitely still shot after you. But I mean, a couple of those situations happened to us before.
Literally. Yeah. Same thing.
Similar kind of things.
And when he's, when one time went to go test something. And
Oh, shit.
And, you know, we didn't even get to because, you know, we started walking. We couldn't have been out of the house for like.
You spotted them though, right?
Couldn't have been out of the house for like 40 seconds, bro. Mm-hmm. We've like walked around the corner. The luck of it. Yo, we walked around the corner, up the road a little bit. Was it you or you?
With the police of yeah.
It was you.
Yeah.
So boom.
No,
you had it.
Okay. Okay.
So we're walking now. We ain't got nowhere near this place to go test this out. We said we were going to. What is it? The Fed car that pulls up.
Yeah, the Fed car.
Nobody walking.
Nah. They pulled up on us, man, and jumped out.
So imagine we're walking, bro. As we're walking, just doing our thing, you know. But, yo, the police car just pulls straight up to us. We're like, oh, shit. Because he's got this on him.
They want to stop and search. Because they're saying, no, we can smell weed. The funniest thing is, your man smokes weed now, but at the time, he didn't even smoke. So none of us smoked. But so we're saying, what the fuck?
He could smell it, though.
But the funniest thing is...
He fought faster.
There's a couple of guys walking on the road that
were smoking. The funniest thing, we could smell the weed in the air. So we're thinking, fuck, where's that smell come from? We don't have it on us.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand why they were coming up to us to stop us.
What were you in prison for? What were you in for, Mike?
Mate, I've been in for attempt murder a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been in for similar things.
How do you think your life would be now if Gorilla was dead? Because my uncle's lost two brothers to murder, my mum's lost two brothers to murder, and it kind of fucking destroys your family. Are blessed to still be here, lads.
I think it definitely would have. I tell you something as well, what made me, because I, even after I kind of stepped away, you know, like MMA changed my life, my kids, I think the biggest turning point was having my children, because having my son's over there. The tall fella you saw walking in the room. Yeah. Can't believe it. Right? Looks like my mate, right?
Fucking hell, man. I thought I was one of the boys coming out.
Well, his son, right? Do you know what I mean? So I didn't want him. I mean, I'll tell you something. He's listened to this shit now. I think it's probably the first time he's ever heard it.
Yeah.
I never, ever wanted him to know anything I had ever done in my life or anything that I was associated with. So I began changing my life because... You know, you meet those guys that they're a prick because of who their big brother is, or they're a prick because of who their dad is, or some shit. I didn't want that guy. I didn't want my son to be that guy. Yeah. So I taught him a whole different set of values. You know what I mean? And I think one of the biggest things that changed me was having my children and realizing, okay, these guys can end up exactly like me or worse. I was smart enough to navigate certain situations, and I've never been seriously hurt, but look how close the person next to me is that did get seriously hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other things is, even when those things did happen to him, and even though I was stepping away, there are situations I still went and did. I didn't even tell my brothers about, because revenge was still in my mind. The other day we were talking, I was talking to my brother and I was telling him a situation where I went to someone's home by myself. I went into the house with murder on my mind to find that person didn't live there anymore. And when I spoke to him, he's going, you never told me you did that. I was like, yeah, I did that. He goes, well, I know you must have been fucking serious, because none of us were even with you. I was on my own. Do you know what I mean? And so all of those things I was still doing, even though I said I'd stepped away, revenge is still on my mind. Like, these people have done these things to my brother. I still want to do something too.
The craziest thing is, though, and I feel like even if he's to turn around, you know, like, as much as we know each other as brothers,
yeah,
the amount of stuff he's done, I don't know everything.
That's true.
The amount of stuff he's done, I don't know everything. Yeah, the amount of stuff I've done, he don't know.
Yeah.
Literally, we
wait,
know.
Wait, got to understand as well is that I think my bro's touching on it is, you know, we've all been in prison at different times. You know what I mean? So there's different times
I'm no longer around. He's no longer,
but we, us are. Mm-hmm. There's times when he's not around, but us two are.
Yeah.
There's times when I'm not around and they are. You feel me? So it's like...
I'm saying that one time we were awesome.
Yeah, yeah. One time all of us were gone. Yeah. So we all had our own little paths and journeys that we took, you know what I mean?
Have you ever, none of you's had counselling, none of you's ever spoke to anybody to understand that?
It's funny though, you know.
Because you've kind of took it all in your stride. Yeah.
Well, the only time I've ever had counselling for anything, and I can talk about this now, by the time it was very difficult. It had a little bit, and that was when my daughter passed away. So, you know, my daughter passed away when she was very young, and I had bereavement counselling for that. But even that was tough to do, because from an environment where you don't talk about your pain, do you know what I mean? But just to go back to what I was saying, I think the thing that made me no longer have revenge in my mind was that, you know, ultimately, the person that shot my brother ended up dead. So I'm dead now. So
did any user get ripped in from it straight away?
You know what's I tell you what's funny. I'm gonna explain something to you. The reason we always suspected who did what they did. But I'm gonna tell you something right now. Yeah. You know when that happened to him? I'm gonna tell you something. This ain't no coppers are corrupt as fuck. Right? They've come to me personally and told me who did it. They've told me.
Funny though, man. Feds want to start stuff.
They've come to me and told me who made the call, who opened the door, who fired the shots, what vehicle they were in. But they said, we can't, they didn't, because nobody's talked. My brother's never spoke about anything that's happened to him. They were like, okay. But and they came literally and told me everything. I knew everyone that was involved. You know what I mean? So it's funny how in one sense we had the police that were up our ass for how long? Do you know what I mean? I mean, for that situation, he ended up with a charge for was it the same one where you ended up with the charge for the ammunition?
So basically what's happened is might as well say it now, yeah? So basically, what's happened is, that's happened to my bro, you feel me? And it's kind of like, you know what? And when that happened with my bro, when he got shot, you got to understand that it wasn't even rivals that we considered like, yo, they're the opposition. This was a whole new thing. This was like all internal.
Yeah.
This is guys that we grew up with. We're saying, yo, the fuck is this?
The whole scenario never made sense.
Yeah, it didn't make sense because as far as we're concerned, we're talking about people that are close as family, like as in they'll be at family events and shit. You feel me? So it was kind of like, this don't make, exactly like you said, it don't make sense.
But for me, looking from outside, as if somebody was stirring the pot. Somebody was feeding somebody information and mixing things. Even with the police, that's their way of cleaning stuff up. Somebody gets murdered, life off.
Listen.
These are off.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Saying, bro.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, and this is why I kind of, again, now myself, I'm not really active like that. You know what I mean? Like I've done a lot of jail, whatever. Things have changed, but there's shit that makes you think, yeah? And this is a scenario that makes you think, because my brother was shot, like he said, they know what's happened, they know what did it. Obviously, we're not going to fucking talk. You know what's going on, man. If you're going to do your job. If not, is what it is. But one thing I do know is, they seem to have a particular interest in what we do.
Yeah.
For instance, yeah? You happened to my bro. I said, you know what? Fuck this. We gotta make it, send a message, yeah. And my bro sometimes think that I'm the crazy one. Like, I'm cool, chill back, but it could be a bit extreme sometimes.
More irrational than the other, of us.
And I say,
we all have our moments, man.
I said, you know what it is? We're gonna go get, not a normal, we're gonna get something really heavy here to send a really serious message, you know what I mean? Like, so we can't be talking about firing some pistols or something, you know what I mean? We gotta send a serious message here, you know what I mean? So I've arranged for that to happen. For whatever the reason was, it's kind of quite funny because my bro was supposed to come check me at the time so I could go get, you know,
the serious heavy artillery.
The serious piece of heavy artillery, really, you know what I mean?
So when the Uzis came out and that.
Well, 7.62 ammunition we're talking, you know what I mean?
Serious stuff.
Yeah. So we're saying, yeah, what? Your man was supposed to be there for me to have it. It's supposed to be with me. Yeah, now. It's supposed to be with me the day so we can go do the thing. Police. First thing in the morning.
No, I'll tell fucking, you what. I'm going to the fucking... I'm coming from the gym.
And you come from the gym?
This is when they were in the yard.
When they came to the yard, man. So remember, you were supposed to come to the yard the night before so I could go pattern it, so I could go grab the stuff. And then the next day... we got raided. So I'm supposed to have it.
Was you there?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh,
we were supposed to.
Different time.
Oh, okay. We got raided a lot of time, but this time was for, you know what I mean? So we got raided literally the very next day. Now it leads you to believe, bro. How the fuck?
There's a fucking leak somewhere.
Did they fucking know? Listen, it's just by the chance of God that we don't have it. And I'll tell you the truth. I tell you the truth, bro. I'm not gonna go to jail for something like that, bro. You would have to, you'd have to do your thing and just, you know, go out like bloody Scarface or some shit. You know what I mean? Because you're not gonna see the light of day if you get arrested with something like that, bro. But they came there today. They raided the house specifically for firearms and ammunition, and I'm thinking, the fuck? How the fuck did you know to come here the exact day when it's supposed to be here right now for the firearms and ammunition?
100%
leaked. But the screws know everything. They got the ammunition. There's more snatches now than there is fucking police.
And this is what I'm saying. This is why I said it made me start reevaluating things so much. Because you think that we're all batting on the same field and there's these silent set of rules and they start to realise actually... it's only us fuckers following the rules, you know what I mean?
Where's all your uncles in this and your dad?
So let me explain something to you about my uncles. On my mum's side, in their day, they're as bad as us. You understand what I'm saying? We're getting coached.
Yeah.
We're straight up getting coached.
But there's never anybody, there's always that one person in a family that distances himself from the family, and you think he's a fucking weirdo, but he's the one that's clever.
I had one uncle. You're right. Always encouraged me to do better. Mm-hmm. And that's my Uncle Jeffrey, God rest his soul. And that's not to say my other uncles didn't love me and care for me and want the best for me, but they grew up in the same environment.
So they knew.
He's the only one who ever spoke and always kept it like...
positive.
He always, but not even just positive though. He always kept it, the talk on, you know, a certain path. It was never randomly going off onto street shit. Like he never did that.
So my uncle was the guy who, he grew up in the same environment. That's my mother's brother. And he ended up being the only person who went to university, got a law degree, opened his own law firm, and became the first Rastafarian lawyer in the whole of the UK.
That's amazing.
So he's quite renowned. Yeah. Like you can Google this guy. And when he opened up his office, you know, for the first couple of years, he's become a millionaire. Do you know what I mean? A few years down the line, some things happened. He ended up having a heart attack and he passed away.
You see the family members, when something happens like that, there's a lot of envy. There was. A lot of jealousy because somebody's made it out.
That happened. 100% happened.
It's funny you just said
He kept on, and you know, even though he moved out and he was in an affluent area and he had, by all you know, standards, had made it, that was still his home. He still came back into the ghetto, still played music. Everyone rated him as well.
You see my uncle, I would be with him like every day because we went gym together. And you know what's crazy is as much as he made it out, is as much as he wanted the, as much as it would seem like he didn't care about getting the approval of the peeps who were he wanted the approval from the people
that you don't need it from.
Because he wanted them to respect and love him for what he did because he was everything he did, he kind of was doing it for us. Bro. Everybody in the ghetto, whether you had a court case, they police, uncle, yeah, they went to my uncle. My uncle represented
everybody. He defended us.
Yeah, so he was leaving a blueprint for people.
After he passed away and I had another police, I didn't even know what to do. I was like, hang on a second, I don't know because the only person I ever called is my uncle.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And as many times as we went to jail and got arrested and stuff, we'd have definitely been in jail longer and done more time for things. My uncle hadn't represented us.
Because we had two different surnames. He was able to just come, no one would know any different.
Yeah.
But we got our father's surname. You know what I mean?
You get me? So we're in court and we're this is my uncle who I'm with on a daily and he's in the courtroom for me.
Yeah.
So we had like a different type of
should have a respect for this man.
loved him like a dad. Mm-hmm. When he passed away, that broke me.
Bro, I was in jail when I heard this, bro.
Yeah.
And you don't understand, this is someone I was with. Let me explain something to you. Yeah. Like, he used to come on
legal visits.
Mm. But check it out, yeah. He would come on the legal visit. I'd go into the room. He'd speak to me all formal. See, the moment we went into the room, bro, and locked the door, he'd be like, yo, so how much you mentioned? Like, yo, what's the way you're saying? Man. Like, yeah, stop, that's no legal shit, bro. It's my uncle. We're going to sit in the room and talk shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it was, bro.
And I tell you what's mad is that my uncle, I won't say his name out of respect because I don't think he'd want to say his name. But my uncle Jeff and this other uncle, his brother, they were best friends. Do you know what I mean? And it broke him probably more than anybody because his best friends who's passed away. But it was mad to see this contrast of almost like chalk and cheese, because on the one side, you got my uncle who was at one point, he was the wickedest person in the whole ghetto. You know what I mean? Like, no one can speak to this guy. And then the next generation is us. But you've got him and then his best friend and brother who is the guy who's made it. So my uncle's always encouraging him, like, you're not even supposed to be here. Like, you're the guy who made it. Like, you're the... You know what I mean? And when you see them two together, it was just like a mad combination. Because one's telling you, like, fuck those guys, man. You should just go and kill them from off the roof. And then the other one, literally, they're saying shit like that. So you're like, just grab the guys from off the fucking roof. What's the problem? Mm-hmm. Like, that's how he's talking to you. And the other one's going, no. That's how I speak to you sometimes, you know what I mean? You go from Queen's
like
English
to Patois. Like, he's going to put a wig on,
Yeah, you know what I mean? And he'd go from talking to the big, long dreadlocks, big dude, and he'd be talking to you in the Queen's English or mix it into patwa, like, because from the ghetto, do you know what I mean? And he was probably the only person who, although the others encouraged positive stuff for us, he was the only person who really was like, you don't need to do any of this. Particularly, I know he definitely did that with me, because even though I was doing all this stuff, I was still quite academic in school. I was still very academic.
This guy's quite academic.
Yeah, I was still
a smart
person. We're all liars, but he really is.
Yeah, I think it's really weird, you know. He's, I just give it, put into context, he was headhunted by some of the top universities because he got the highest in the, is it in the country? Midlands for law. Yeah, so talking.
So why did you not follow it through then?
I was living in the ghetto.
Yeah,
there was nothing. There was nothing else. Like,
were you scared though to make changes? Were you scared of people judging you for trying to get out?
I don't think so. I think what it was, I was just too deep in the life. Like, it was like, okay, I'm all good here on this campus and doing these things, but you know, as soon as I leave here, it's real life again. Mm-hmm. Like, the guys down there don't give a fuck that I'm.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't care that I'm trying to change my life right now.
Yeah,
and I think the only reason why I was able to change my life was because I literally wasn't there. I wasn't available. Like, by the time I had decided to make the transition and go into the gyms and kind of stay away from shit because of my kids, I was no longer accessible. Do you know what I mean? I was no longer accessible, and I was trying to keep, I was trying consciously to keep away from shit. And that's not to say sometimes I didn't get dragged into shit. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, this requires my presence now. Do you know what I mean? But I had to make a serious conscious effort. Whereas at the time when those things were happening, where I was going into my academics and my uncle was encouraging me to go to university and those kind of things, I was still very much in the street. Do you know what I mean? So it was difficult for me to say, well, I'm going to do this. And then at the end of the day, when 4:15 ends and I go back into Handsworth, that they don't give a fuck. Life is still happening. You know what I mean?
I mean, I remember going to college and you haven't even touched on this. Just loads. And I remember going to college anyway.
I'm going to get these guys back on yourselves though. I'm going to get his wall back on your girl. Go get the big man off the back. I'm going to get it so we can go deep.
I
think people can connect with this. It's something different. It's something fresh. I'm going to put your story out first and then I'll put this out. Like, he's going to get a lot of love and respect for this, guys, because he's a three fucking diamonds, I believe. He's a three good guys through some shit. But people are going to connect with this something. I mean, it's special.
And that's the thing. We're just trying to be real. Like, and it was just real life. Because I remember, like, going to college. And then...
But you can see the love by the three of you. You can see they're all different characters and you're own, right? I noticed that. But you can see the bond and the connection. Like, look how fucking close he's are sitting, and that's not just because you're a big guy. It's like, I feel as if he wants to.
I don't know if the camera catches this, but he is a big fucking
big
guy.
Fella, you know.
But where do you go for life now when you can through all that fucking trauma and heartache and pain, the stuff that you've actually been through, to still actually being here?
Yeah.
You are here for a reason. I says that to Griller earlier. Yeah. You're here for a reason. You don't go through the shit you went through and don't survive for nothing. So you've clearly got something to give. It's how you write that chapter and finish the end of your story to then making positive waves. So where do you go?
I believe so.
I feel like with the amount that's happened, bro, individually, we got so much different perspectives on different things, though. Because you see, like, even someone like him now, yeah? I ain't been in the army. He ain't. He has. You get what I'm saying? He has a whole different perspective, bro. And all next shit that I can't tell you about. He's been through some shit that I can't tell you about. I've been through some shit he can't. You know what I'm saying? And him, as a collective, bro. Bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've gone through each thing. As much as we seem close right now, bro, we've gone through each thing by ourselves. You get what I'm saying? Everything he went through, I'm sure it's going to feel to him like he literally went through that by himself. Bro, after I got... You see, like, even after I got... Was that stabbed? After I got stabbed, yeah, and he went joined the army. A little bit after that.
Yeah. It wasn't too long after that.
So even between, so like, me and him now, yeah, it's like... A scenario like that, you got into the army... I feel alone now.
Yeah, because we was together every day.
I ain't spoke about this before, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You'd be surprised what these feelings do to you and how they change your behavior. Like, but I could have just said, hey, I feel lonely, where you going? I didn't say that shit, though.
Yeah. We were taught not to say that shit.
That's a sense of self-harming as well. You kind of just accept it to fuck with your own mind.
But the craziest thing is, I'm sure he didn't think of it that way. He ain't going to think of it in... You know, he's just doing what he feels is best for his next move.
I tell you something as well. I don't know. I've never been prouder of this man as much as I was when he joined the military. I tell him this all the time. You know, for whatever reasons, it never worked out with him being there and ending up having a long career with the military. But when I saw him say, "I'm fucking off out of this place. I'm going to join the military." I was with him when he went to the recruitment. Place,
yeah.
And I was like, bro, you're doing it.
Was that on the second occasion?
Must have been on the second occasion.
Because I was confused on the first one.
Like, he'd never spoken to us about this shit. I think it was just a case of...
You know, trying to get away from everything? Was a lot
It was
of
a bit like that,
you?
Man. And you know what? I'll be honest, man. I beat a few cases. We're talking like, you know, a few gun charges. When I went there, I was on a gun charge still, man. And I was quite straight with him. Said, listen, I'm on this. And I remember the guy in the recruitment office looking at me like, don't worry about it. Just fucking sign up here, lad.
That's the place for you.
I was just like, fucking sweet. Then I fucking signed the line. You know what I mean? Like, so it was one of them. It was one of them.
It's mad though, because there's a contrast. Because that's what I'm saying about like everyone's relationships and how important talking is. Mm-hmm. Because like, as much as he's making his next step and then feeling like, yo, boom, this is for me. I'm here, bro, feeling like, bro, I've been not betrayed, but I don't know what next word is. Like, I feel
abandoned.
Like, yeah, abandoned. Yeah, abandoned. Right, like, right, bro, right. Yo, that's my... Yo, when you see what... Yo, when we were younger, they thought we were twins, bro. Yeah. Don't know how they made that mistake.
Bro,
bro,
twins,
bro, like, yeah, we're together all the time. So my point is, even though for him, it might seem like one thing, for me, it was a whole complete different thing, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever experience he had when he went there, bro, I don't know what that was.
But you're the younger brother as well, and with the abandonment issues, yeah.
The thing is, though, it's like everything I saw him doing and accomplishing, though, I loved it.
Yeah.
But then, bro, as soon as I stop thinking about that thing and I go back to my reality, it's like I'm on my way.
I tell you something, man. It was weird, man, seeing this, the changes. His back was straighter, his chin was higher.
Confident.
His shoes were shinier.
You know what the maddest thing is, though? Check this out. When he came back here, like he would come on like the weekend leaves and that. But Tree had his own like family going on. We wouldn't see him every weekend.
Yeah.
So when we did though, I remember one occasion, this always sticks with me. Let's see if you remember. You probably remember this.
What?
He came and he said to me, yo, who'd you you been chilling with? And I was like, no one still. He was like, you don't chill with no one. This is what he's asked me. And I said, nah. Mind you, I'm a very well-known person, bro. I could make two calls. And
Everyone, nigga wants to fucking be with him, you know what I mean?
But he's asked me this, bro, and I'm like, I actually don't want to chill with anyone. Truth be told, bro, I didn't want to chill with no one after he went to the army. I'm good. I got it by myself then. You get what I'm saying? And it's like it does something to you without you realizing, bro.
But that's where you'll find your change. I became way more withdrawn, you know? You'll find your change, though. When you're surrounded by other people, you're getting all their information, all their bullshit, all their energies. When you yourself, that's when you really figure out who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
It's not the same as when you're in prison, you're sitting in a cell. You're not really, even though you got a lot of time to think, it's still not the same because it's condensed, it's nasty, it's negative. But when you're in the house yourself out in freedom, yeah, you fucking look at things differently. And probably you going to the army's probably saved your life. You,
Well, fucking hell.
Even when he got found with when they threw the gun away and the man stuck him in, we spoke about it earlier. He's saved your life because you've probably been in prison now doing a lifer, and then that ends up affecting you again. So the three years could be potentially fucking dead or all doing lifers. Like, life works in mysterious ways. I can see you as three talking in schools. I can see you as three changing lives.
It's funny,
lives.
You know, because I actually do some of that stuff now.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. So I don't really speak about my philanthropy. Mm-hmm. I'll pronounce that right.
Philanthropy.
Philanthropy.
And what's that?
Basically, my giving back to the community. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And when I'd go give like little talks to the schools and the troublesome kids and the kids who are on the verge of ending up in that street life or doing some serious crime, or people that have just come out from doing crimes, but they've still got a chance to turn their life around. And I do often, I go into like certain places, certain centers, certain schools, and I try to talk to those guys. And it's good for them to have somebody who's got lived experience, because I've been there, bro. Like I try to explain to these kids, every single thing we can imagine going through, I've done it.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. I mean, I've done it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you get through to some. Sometimes you don't. They have to learn the hard way. But, you know, if there's a couple of guys that I can get through to and change their life and change their path, then, you know, my job's done, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm talking to my son over there. The other day, I had to give him a call, ask him if he's okay, because in his area, the area that he currently lives in, there's fucking murders every week.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And I had to give him a call, say, you know, son, are you okay? Because whenever I hear it, it's really close to home, so I just call him to see if he's okay. And it turns out that, you know, one of the guys, well, he's friends with all of them. One of the guys who went to school with, the other guys he's friends with. And, you know, my son was wounded. And I'm thinking to myself, man, shit, that could easily be my son just chilling with one of these guys one of the days. He ends up roped in. And even then, I have to say to my son, because like I've said to you right now in this interview, it's the first time my son's heard any of this shit come from my lips. I'm being very candid in front of him right now. I say to him, son, please don't hang around with these guys. I understand they're your friends, but please don't put me in a situation where I feel like I need to involve myself. And I don't know if my son's ever understood what that means. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably does now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? After hearing this shit. But it's because I know the lengths I will go to for personal love. I've done it for him.
Mm.
And I would do it in a heartbeat for my child. You know what I mean? So,
and we ain't even mentioned none of the occasions that were just quick, you know, like something happened and a person just got their teeth punched out real quick or something. Yeah. We ain't even mentioned none of those occasions. You get me? We just, you know what I'm saying?
You hold a lot of emotion, Mike. So you do. I can see you hold your heart in your sleeve. Like, see you feel as if you're always wanting to cry. Like, because I think you feel the pain of the past.
Yeah, sometimes that does happen, man. It does happen.
Do you regret it?
It does. Some of it. Do you know what I mean? Somebody told me one time, you look like you got sad eyes, Mike. I was like, it's probably because I've been punched in both of them. You know what I mean? But man, there's a lot of regret, man. You know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of responsibility. I feel responsible for a lot of shit that's happened. You know, even with my sister, I feel responsible for a lot of that shit that's gone on with that. That's another story.
My sister's
going to another
story,
time.
Bro, will blow your head.
Absolutely crazy.
Bro, she's out the minute she wanted.
She's wanted though. Wanted, yeah, she's wanted.
Still get her on, mate.
Police have come. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
There, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is, you see with my sister as well, bro, it's mad, yeah, because she don't understand how much she has that she could give back. She doesn't.
I know.
She my sister
doesn't even understand the potential.
Like none of her, bro. Like, if she just got to a certain place, she'd have so much.
But I feel that with yous three also. Yeah. I feel that with yous three. So what you see in your sister, I see in yous three. Mm. I see goodness, I see kindness, I see loyalty, strength, but also see pieces there that are also broken.
Yeah, man. And we're trying to, like we said, man, we're from an environment where we were never taught to get those pieces fixed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but as times have changed,
crack
man.
On with it, exactly.
Times have fucking changed. That's where you're going to heal.
Yeah.
It's talking about it.
Tell you something, one thing about my sister, I've always said, I'm glad she wasn't born a guy, man. It should be worse than all three of us combined.
Should have been a man. I'm just saying to him, how, like, she's done more jail than all of us, bro.
She's worse than us all, man. If she was ever a man, I'm just so glad she isn't. Do you know what I mean?
Shirting would be rude.
Wild. Wild.
How hard's that, though, like Christmases and birthdays when people are missing? And
it's been nuts. The first
Christmas that we've had together in about 10 years was last year.
Was we all together?
We weren't all together, bro.
Wasn't you there at Christmas?
Yeah, we were all there.
No, I wasn't, bro.
You was there, bro.
Nah, bro. Didn't I come earlier? I didn't see you.
Yeah, but you leave. Was there. Yeah, nah, you didn't see me leave.
We're in the bay, whatever it is. Oh, this is how serious it is. Like, nah, bro, are we together? Were we not together?
We're there together. Factual, the last time we were all together was in Zion. In Zion Bar, bro, when I took the picture. I got a picture on my Instagram right now.
2016.
The one, you know,
16, I was gone.
You know, Zion Bar. You know what day I'm talking about, though?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Your birthday.
Remember that? Was it my birthday?
The surprise party. Yeah.
That wasn't my birthday.
Oh, then it was one of my after. Must have been one of my after parties with my fights. Every time I have a fight,
you're going to get another fight.
Yeah.
Let us know, because I'll come.
I will, man. I was meant to be fighting in.
Yo, you know
July.
Dan Toews, yeah.
He's got that brand now. You know the watches.
Darren Till.
I need to.
Darren Till was meant to be coming and visiting our gym. I might go. What's his name? Your man, Tom Aspinall, no, man, his mate of mine. Well, Andy Clamp as well from down in parts. But what was I saying? Oh, after my fight. Mm-hmm. So I was meant to be fighting in July.
Yeah, that's the last time we saw.
And it just clashed with a couple of things that I was doing, and I can't commit the time to training. And if it'll be my first fight since 2019 because of all this COVID shit. Mm-hmm. So I want to, you know, apply myself and have the proper kind of camp and mind frame for it. You know what I'm saying? So maybe about September.
How do you feel after that camp? Do you feel more at peace when you're training
like fucking
hard?
Dog shit, mate. You're getting fucked up every day.
So what's the plans for the freeze and moving forward for the future? What about yourself, Sheikh?
You know, so I've come out of jail after doing a little lengthy sentence, and I was just kind of finding myself, you know what I mean? But then an opportunity arose. I was doing a bit of construction and shit. Then an opportunity arose with a guy that I met through being in jail. And he started his own company and his business, and we've just started bumping heads, and we're just trying to push that forward. So at the minute, what we're doing is we actually deliver higher education and careers education to schools and young people and stuff. So that's kind of like the focus at the minute. But really what I'm focused on at the minute is just giving back and just developing on myself, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because at the minute, just like you've been hearing, it's like we're kind of on a road to self-discovery on it.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, which we never kind of really, we never really looked at. I don't think none of us have really delved deep into ourselves and said, yo, who am I, bro? Like, what am I supposed to be here for? You know what I mean? Like, what's my destiny? What am I supposed to be? And I always feel like you need to give back. Yeah. You know what I mean? So as much as you want to take and gain, you need to be giving back along your journey.
That's
you know
the
what
gift
mean?
In life. But then 100%. Again, you've got books in you, you've got documentaries, possibly films. The world is yours. Mm-hmm. It's just how much you want to fucking grasp it and use your pain for success. It's as simple 100%, as that. But about yourself, Grilla? I've spoken earlier about where are we going. How do you feel about listening to your brothers, first of all?
Well, you know, it's mad because especially like, you know, you go to do something like this and you assume you're going to know some stuff the person's going to say already. Then there's going to be some shit you're going to discover as well.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? So... Yeah. For me, bro, this communication right here, to me, this is coming like therapy, bro. Like, this is
like
this shit, you know what I'm
saying?
Like,
my little brother likes to talk.
I sat with for 2 hours.
Trust me. But nah, for real though, man, I feel like, you see like the way my bro was breaking it down though, man, it's always whatever your journey is though, bro, you have to be giving back along that way. You get me?
Yeah.
I feel like when you don't give it back along the way, shit can fuck up. I feel like stuff goes very smooth, bro, when you see a lot at the end, when you're doing your journey, but giving at the same time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And right now, like I said, we all got a lot to offer, man. I feel like whether it's me doing music, whether it's me doing, production company, whether it's some shit with the youths, whatever it is, bro, I feel like as long as we push forward, bro, I feel like Each of us, bro, only destined for greatness. Things, bro.
Go for it, brother. What about yourself, Mikey?
Mate, I've got my finger in so many pies right now.
Yeah.
I'm older than
like me back in the day, so I've got so many kids, bro.
Oh, shit. I got yeah, man, I'm older than these guys, so I've got a bit more urgency to my shit, do you know what I mean? Mm. You know, I'm reaching the kind of twilight years of my fighting career, so I'm not naive enough to think that'll go on forever. I've achieved quite a lot, and I'm still training with real high-level guys. So I still got a few, you know, just got a new management deal. A new management company, Kings. So they're helping me with the stages of my career. You know, there's some promotions on the table after my contract finishes with Cage Warriors. Maybe Bellator, maybe ONE FC, those kind of places. For me, with fighting now, it's about big money fights and kind of just the final years of my career, getting some dough. You know what I mean? And also, the problem is with fighters is they have no exit strategy. So that's why they end up having a few fights too many, getting some brain injuries and shit like that, and you're watching great fighters fight while they're over the hill, and I've never wanted to be that guy. So at the moment, I've got I'm in business with a friend of mine. We're running a security company, RG8 facilities. That's what we're doing at the minute. We've kind of got some clients kind of nationwide. It's going okay at the minute.
We'll leave all the links in the description.
I mean, he hasn't even spoke about any of the security stuff. That's a whole different ball game and journey, because
bodyguarding, close protection and shit like that, looking after the people in the city.
We haven't scratched the surface, man.
That's what we did.
I'm going to get you all on separately again so we can connect better. This is more a journey of three brothers.
Exactly.
Try to get a bit of openness from the three.
I was lucky enough because of just being known as a hard man of the city, I've been able to get a lot of opportunities within the security sector and close protection and shit. Do you know what I mean? Looking after celebrities and stuff. So I've got that aspect of the company that we're dealing with. But then also I've started to make the transition into acting. So from the fighting, the sports personality into actually stage and movies, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's coming along right now.
Look at this, bro. See what I'm saying? He did that shit. Now I'm on that shit.
And for me, I'm a person. I'm very I was talking to my brother about this in the car. I'm very much I get something in my head. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe.
I'll just do it. And if it fails a few times, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm going to keep trying to do it until we figure out the best way. You know, to do it.
You look at the Guy Ritchie films and that as well. Do you know what I mean? You look at fucking Snatch, you look at The Gentleman, Bugsy Malone, just fucking doing their thing. You don't need to be an actor.
And that's the thing. If anyone that's watching this, you know, now they've come to this part of the episode, if you have a dream or an aspiration or something you want to do, get up and fucking do it. Just get up and do it.
We're talking about this, bro, and not allowing other people, though, to dim your shit. When you're talking about it and throw the fucking negativity on it, you know what I'm saying? And make you throw your idea out the window.
You know where I got this mentality from as well? I have to big up a brother named Cypher from Birmingham. Real humble brother, pioneer, who always sought to do us, well. And our best intentions at heart. When my brother was in hospital, was the shell of the man after being recovering from those stab wounds. Cypher was bringing him food every day.
Let me break this down to you. It wasn't even though he was just bringing the food, though. This guy would bring crates of stuff, though. Yeah. And my mom was amazed by when she seen him doing all this. Right. Mind you, this guy's much older than me, because he's much older than me.
He's an elder for me.
You know what I'm saying? Like proper, you know when you say elder, bro, like he really is, but this guy ain't one of those ones where he just demands the title. Like, bro, he plays his position.
Yeah, like this guy is our elder.
The first time I even recorded a music tune, bro, was him saying he had a big studio at the time. People, all different types of artists, bro, will go there from around the world, bro, and go to the studio and join the choir. This guy gave me the keys, bro. Showed me on the computer, this is how you do this. He said, stay here and record. Bro.
I got a lot of love for Cypher. Where we're from, you hear the term, I bust my gun for that person. And that basically means I'd kill for that person. I'd go to jail for that person. I'd do anything for that person. We've literally been there with Cypher. You know what I mean? But Cypher is a very humble man, and he is one of the pioneers from the music industry. He was part of a group called Moorish Delta 7. Anyway, I say all that to say this. I remember one day, first of all, watching, if you see Cypher where he was to where he is now, you can see he's a just get up and do it kind of guy. But I remember something very simple that happened to me. At the time, I didn't drive. We're talking the early 2000s, maybe 2005, 2006. And I wasn't driving at the time. And he was saying, do you drive? And I can't remember why he even asked me. I was like, not yet, man. I have to learn how to drive. And he was like, just get in a car and drive. And I was like, what the fuck does this guy mean, man? I can't just get in a car. You want to kill somebody? You want to get arrested? Like, what would you want me to do? And what I realized was it was symbolic. It was a metaphor, what he was saying. Mm. He was saying, bro, if you want to do something, you don't talk about this shit and think about it. Just go and do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what he meant. And that stuck with me in my head to this very day. Mm. Every day I think to myself, just get in a car and drive. Mm. And so anytime I have an idea or endeavor that I want to do, I just get up and I do it. And that's how I live. And if anybody else hears this, I hope that they can just think the same way. Do you know what I mean? You did it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Doing it now.
You do it right now. Like you thought to yourself, I want to do this shit and look now. Do you know what I mean?
For anybody watching that's in the battle, maybe it's in prison, maybe it's going through, especially Birmingham, all the shit that's happening on the streets, people want to be bad men. What advice would you give for them?
Talk to the people that have been through already, because I can guarantee you it's not all glitz and glamour. I guarantee you that it's not all glitz and glamour. And those people will have some advice and some shit to tell you that would definitely change your mind about a lot of things.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. What about you, Grilla? What about you?
Go on.
No, go on.
You're on your shake.
I was going to say, to what I've told a lot of the young guys that I deal with now, and even some of the, you know, active young guys, even when I was in jail and I'm talking to guys, and it's kind of funny because as much as I see some of these olders that even I used to look up to anyway, at least, I realized no one's giving any of these guys any good information, man. They're just feeding them with piss, poor bullshit, and false hopes and false pretenses, and everything that encompasses and anything that's to do with it is fake, bro. The truth is this. You're going to be fighting for a postcode, fighting for whoever, or saying that these guys are your opps, your enemies, literally killing each other, bro. They're acquiring wealth to buy weapons, bro. Kill dudes that it's no fault of their own. Their mum so happened to get given a council house that she probably barely can pay rent for in the area. And now you're saying you want to kill that you because he's from that area, bro. And your mum don't even own a house. So you're saying that, yo, I want to kill somebody because I'm repping the ends that you don't even own shit in, bro. You don't own that house, bro. You're renting barely. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I say, stop listening to this fakeness that's out there, bruv. Don't look at Instagram. See all that shit? It's fake, man.
Keep it real to
yourself. Yeah, keep it real to yourself. Be honest with yourself. See, being real. And this is what a lot of people get mixed up. They think being real is by being on the road or being violent or selling drugs or whatever it is. Bro, it's just about being real to yourself. Mm-hmm. So when that guy comes up to you and says, yo, roll with me. Let's just go out of town and start selling some, you know, some fucking coke or whatever, make loads of dough or whatever. Bro, you was going to college, be real to yourself. Say, actually, no, I want to go college, bro, and do that. Say, actually, nah, I don't want to go and stab that geezer because he comes from some different area. Be real to yourself and say, you know what, actually, I'm not about that. Like, you feel me? Like, just be real and be honest with yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about you, Grilla?
Well, it's a bit of the same thing, you know. It's a bit of the same thing, man. I feel like it's important understanding who you are and staying just true to that, man. Like, because too many times, you know, like you said, you have your plan.
Yeah, man.
But you're deterred from it because of what you saw this person doing or this one, or you know what I'm saying? And we get it because we grew up in the same shit, but that's why we can say this. Because we know, yo, had we had just stuck to our plan, where we would all fucking on, be right now, on, you know what I'm saying? Had you already pointed it out, bro, like we would have been to these spots ages ago, but instead, we went about this completely different, you know what I'm saying? And we've had to go through a whole bunch of just heartache, deaths, this, that, bro, you name it, bro, jail, whatever the fuck, bro. Like, it ain't even like just he went through it, bro, we all been through it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you definitely don't need to go about it that way. You can definitely have an easier life. You know what I'm saying?
Easy, bro.
And if we had to go through this shit so that we can then be in this position to just break it down like this, then obviously is what it is.
You lads, know what I'm saying? Mikey, absolute pleasure. Good luck with the fights. Grilla again, big man. Shake. Absolutely. Listen, lads, I'm going to get you on again, though, separately, part two again, and we'll shoot the shit, we'll go in deeper, but I think people will get a lot from this conversation. It's powerful, it's deep. I think you three need to work on a lot of stuff and open up with your father, your mum, whatever.
Definitely, I'm going
to
see me now, right? Yeah. You know,
and put all the shit on the table, because I think that's where you'll thrive even more. Just putting a lot of that resentment, all that shit with your brother, people leaving you, and having it all there and trying to store it away, it eventually consumes you, it eventually eats you away. So just, you know what? This is what we do. We sit down. There might be a lot of fights, arguments. People might not like a lot of shit, but I guarantee you will feel amazing after it, man. But lads, absolute phenomenal, man.
Thank you very much, man.
Take care.
100%. Cheers.
You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11. Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.